As we come to, as I already mentioned, the very last of this series, looking at these Beatitudes, blessed are, and this week, Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 to 12. There it is, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. At a glance, it sounds like Christian masochism. You're blessed if you're persecuted, verse 10. Please give me a hard time, verse 11. It's so good when you insult me, when you say all kinds of evil things against me. Well, of course, that isn't what Jesus is saying. But whatever this does mean, it is so not the way the world lives. The beatitude of our society is, blessed are you when you're popular and everybody loves you. Blessed are those whose life is easy and hassle-free. Isn't that how we live? Yes, there are troublemakers who seem to take pleasure in stirring things up wherever they go, but the rest of us, most of us, will do anything for a quiet life. We certainly don't go looking for persecution. On the contrary, we actually go out of our way to be accepted. We have an insatiable appetite for popularity. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed how we'll do almost anything to get the approval of others? Wear fashionable clothes, although when I said this yesterday, somebody said, well, that obviously doesn't apply to you, but still. Wear fashionable clothes. Go to trendy places. Avoid controversial remarks. We'll avoid all that because we want to be loved and affirmed. Because we don't want to be insulted and persecuted. And that's why Jesus' words here are so arresting and actually so difficult for us to believe. Blessed are you when you're persecuted, verse 10. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Well, of course, that isn't actually what Jesus said. I don't want to be overly pedantic, but we mustn't leave out the last three words of these sentences. Those last three words make all the difference in the world when we come to read this particular beatitude. See verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. What does that mean? Well, it's explained in verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Here's the last three words. Because of me, says Jesus. It's only a blessing when people insult you and persecute you as a result of you following Jesus Christ. You see, this is not an encouragement to be objectionable. And let's face it, anyone can get persecuted if they want to. I used to work in a company which had about 400 people on site. I was, at the time, as far as I knew, the only Christian. And I prayed for other Christians to join the staff. Maybe you've done the same thing. I prayed that another Christian would come so that we could encourage each other in Christian discipleship in the firm. It's always helpful, isn't it, when there's another Christian around. You stand firm for Jesus. That we could perhaps pray for our colleagues. That in time we could try and win our colleagues for Jesus Christ. Well, to my delight, another Christian did join the company. He actually joined in another department, which I thought was even better, as there would be another Christian witness in another part of the company. But soon I was quite disappointed. He was courageous in speaking out for Jesus Christ, for sure. But people were telling me he was a real pain in the neck. We met one day and he said to me, you know, I'm getting such a hard time for being a Christian. Still, he said, it's what the Bible says will happen to me. And then he quoted 2 Timothy 3:12, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And he said, you see, I'm being persecuted for Christ. Well, I took a deep breath and I said, no, Mike, you're being persecuted because you're objectionable, because you're not doing a very good job. Now, I've got to be fair, he may be doing a talk somewhere saying the same about me, but all I'm saying is don't assume that if you're persecuted, you're doing the right thing. Anyone can get persecuted if they want to. See, this is not just about being persecuted. There's no great virtue in that. No, this is about being persecuted because we actually follow Jesus Christ, when we are really living the Christian life. Because when you live a life which is in accordance with his kingdom, when you stand out from the crowd, you will be persecuted. Jesus said to his disciples in John chapter 15, no servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, said Jesus, they will persecute you also. And that's what we read here in verse 12, similar thing. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, when you're persecuted for Jesus Christ, you're keeping pretty classy company, actually. You're with the likes of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Have you noticed that pattern in the Old Testament? God's people sin. The Lord sends one of his prophets to warn them. The people reject the words of the prophet, and then they actually persecute the prophet as well. Almost all the way through the Old Testament, the same happens. Happened to all the prophets, and not least of all to Jeremiah. He's particularly fresh in my mind because on Sunday evenings here we're preaching through the prophecy of Jeremiah. Of all the Old Testament prophets, he probably got a harder time than anyone. Jeremiah was so hated, do you remember, that he was chucked down a disused well and left to die. By the time Jesus spoke these words, however, years after Jeremiah's death, Jeremiah was greatly loved. His prophecy was revered, read in the synagogue. But at the time of his actually delivering the prophecy, he was hated. And you remember, he was hated because he warned of judgment. He warned that the Lord would send the Babylonians to completely overrun Jerusalem, that the people of Judah would become prisoners, refugees, aliens in a pagan land. But no one wanted to hear Jeremiah's message. Now, the people of Jeremiah's day wanted to hear the false prophets. They loved the false prophets because the false prophets said, everything's all right. Remember what they said? They said, peace, peace. The land will know peace. It's okay. We're at peace with God. It's all right. Peace, peace, they said, when there was no peace. That's the expression that Jeremiah himself uses. That's the refrain right through the prophecy of Jeremiah. So you see, we learn the way to be loved is to say what people want to hear. Tell people that God loves them. That's all. Just God loves you. People like that. Tell them that everything's all right between them and God. But of course, there's nothing particularly Christian about that. As we were seeing last week, our task of peacemaking, there in verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, our task of peacemaking is to help people to see the only way to peace with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, who made peace by dying on the cross. And that means telling people at first that they need forgiveness, that actually they're not at peace with God until they've turned to Jesus Christ. Oh, tell people that everything's all right and you'll be popular. Life will be hassle-free. You will be loved, just as the false prophets were loved in Jeremiah's day. But look, it was Jeremiah's prophecy that actually turned out to be true. And when judgment came, can you imagine what the people thought of the false prophets in Jeremiah's day? Can you imagine the people looking at the false prophets, looking them in the eye, as they were being taken off to be prisoners of war, looking them in the eye and accusing them and saying, you said everything would be all right. Yeah, you'll be popular today by telling people that they'll be all right with God, or actually just by saying nothing at all. You'll be popular now, but on judgment day, as you're being gently taken by Jesus Christ to spend all eternity with him in the new creation, and as your friends and colleagues and neighbours are being led off for eternity in hell apart from Christ, they too will look you in the eye, won't they? And won't they say, why didn't you tell me? What are you going to say? Because I wanted a hassle-free life? Because I wanted to be popular? It's not very loving. If we follow Jesus Christ, we will be persecuted because we will be those who tell others the gospel. We'll warn people of judgment. That is actually the loving thing to do. I'm really pleased when people warn me of a danger. Whenever I'm in danger, I'd much prefer them to tell me that I'm in danger than not to say anything at all. It's what doctors do all the time. Good doctors anyway. If somebody comes to them and they've got to diagnose a pretty awful disease, we'd prefer to hear it, wouldn't we? I'm just them to say everything's okay. It's all right. There's nothing to worry about if we're actually going to die in a few weeks' time. It's a loving thing to warn people that their actions will destroy them. It's loving to speak against things that endanger people, even when those things have become the taboos of the day. You know, the subjects that it's not politically correct to speak out against anymore. So I find myself unpopular when I speak against homosexuality. It's become a taboo to speak against it. And you will find the same when you say that homosexual practice is always wrong, in every form and action. You will not be popular. when you explain that homosexual practice is a corrupt form of social behaviour, which is destructive of people, that it will destroy and is destroying our society, that it antagonises God and will bring condemnation and hell to all who do not repent of it, that it is evil, when you say that, you will be persecuted. And people will not thank you for it now. That's just one issue. I mean, that seems to be one of the relevant issues today. You could think of many other issues for who, about which, if you speak boldly, you will not be popular. But on Judgment Day, when that is seen to be the case, even those, well, especially those who've turned from evil and turned to Christ, they will thank you for saying the hard thing. And those who haven't, well, they will just see how loving it was that you warned them. But now we'll be persecuted. For verse 12, in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. It's one of those bizarre contradictions in our society. Tolerance is the watchword. Have you noticed that? You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe. That's what people say. Yet the moment Christians do say what they believe, people are outraged, and Christians are persecuted. In our world, Christianity is all right, providing it doesn't say that anyone else is wrong. But of course, Jesus Christ does tell people that they are wrong, in order that they may turn to him and be forgiven. So following Jesus Christ will lead you into conflict. And not only by the way that you speak, you will also have conflict coming in a roundabout way. Look at verse 11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and look, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. You notice that if you stand up for Christ, people won't always give it to you straight back in the face, but they will look for ways of persecuting you round the back door, as it were, falsely saying all kinds of evil against you. So I think of a very good friend of mine. I was with him last night, actually. He's a surgeon. He's very, very good at his job. He's a very keen and courageous Christian. He's actually a cancer surgeon. Oncology is his subject and his practice. And when people come to him, and he has to tell them that they have cancer, he will say to them, look, I think I might be able to do something for you, but really you need to think about eternity. And he will then talk to them about Jesus Christ. Well, because he's so courageous, he's found that many of his colleagues have now accused him of malpractice. And he's actually just been cleared once again by the BMC of the fact that he actually hasn't been doing anything wrong at all. But it's very striking that people don't like the fact that he stands up for Christ, and so they look for other ways to falsely accuse him. It's exactly what's been going on here in verse 11. Yet, verse 12, Jesus says, rejoice and be glad. It's actually a command, because you see, I won't feel like rejoicing when I'm getting a hard time. This is not a command to enjoy persecution. That's just perverse. Rejoice and be glad, verse 12, because great is your reward in heaven. It's exactly what he says in verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're persecuted because you're following Jesus Christ, then as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can be sure of spending all eternity with him in the new creation. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that lift your heart today? Rejoice and be glad because of what you have in the future. And when you're insulted for the name of Christ, what's your persecutor got? Nothing at all. What have you got? A reward in heaven. You have Jesus Christ himself at your right hand, helping you and encouraging you. Which of course begs the question, do I value eternity so that I'm prepared to suffer in this world? Or is my joy actually this world so that I keep my head down? I don't really say anything controversial. Because my heart's desire is to have a good time now. Because you actually believe, if you do that, that the real blessing comes from being well thought of by others. Well, if we cope with persecution when we think of eternity, says Jesus, verse 12, rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. And we will gladly continue to be persecuted because of our relationship with Jesus. This is the new thought for me from this passage this week as I've been preparing. See again, as we've seen earlier in verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. And we saw that in verse 11, that is because of him, because of Jesus. And so that word righteousness reminds us of the other beatitude that we saw a few weeks ago there in verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And remember, when, if you were here, we discovered that that meant seeking after Jesus above everything else, wanting to be in relationship with him more than anything else, him being more important than anyone else. That's righteousness. And that is called, of course, is how we deal with being unpopular. Because we say, actually, my relationship with Jesus is far more important than being popular in the world. The desire to be popular, have you noticed, actually enslaves us to do things that we don't even want to do. See, as Christians, we may be convicted of the truth of the gospel, but if we so want the approval of others, so want to be popular, we will find ourselves not being courageous in speaking out. Has that happened to you? And so the desire for popularity actually enslaves us. We can't say what we want to say, because we have this fear of being ostracized. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, if Jesus is everything to you, well, then you will stand up, and you will stand up for Christ, and you will speak out for him. Being popular will no longer be the controlling factor in your life. You will be free. That's why we know tremendous liberty in persecution. Once you've put your neck on the block and have suffered persecution, you've nothing left to fear, nothing left to lose. You're no longer driven by fear or the need to please others. So Jesus said, verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs, and it could be translated, theirs and theirs alone. They and they alone are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Which is why Kent Hughes writes in his book on this passage, if the person who claims to follow Christ never experiences persecution for Christ, it is reasonable to ask if he really is a Christian. You see, he's saying if we're never ever out of step with the culture which surrounds us, actually are we ever in step with Jesus Christ? Let's pray together. Our Lord and God, we say thank you that the Lord Jesus didn't just say these words but lived them, that he knew what it was to be insulted and persecuted, indeed that he gave his life, the ultimate sacrifice for the truth. So we thank you that we don't listen to one who simply is asking us to do something that he's not prepared to do, and we pray that that alone would encourage us to be those who know that there is a blessing in persecution, the blessing of knowing the future, the reward in heaven. We pray you'd give us courage to stand up against the world and to have our Christian convictions make us be people who do tell others the truth of the gospel. Please, by the power of your Holy Spirit, help us to live this, and please help us to avoid being objectionable just for the sake of being objectionable. May we live lives that are attractive to others, and speak out truth that draws them to yourself, for your name's sake. Amen.